your spiritual rebirth is brought about by water baptism and speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives you the Holy Ghost. That is your work. You get the power of all. You're set and you're ready to take on some of those diseases, some of that bacteria, those viruses that will come. They will come. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3. Can you stand just a touch more?
Yeah.
Okay, that's 6 of
them. That's good.
The rest of you stand just a little bit more?
Yeah.
I hope you're not bored. I know some of you are all just kicked back.
Romans chapter 6.
Hold on a second. I'm talking here. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3 said, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death." Therefore, we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism into death. That's why we don't sprinkle a little bit of water on you.
Right.
Baptized.
No.
We don't bury anybody with a little bit of dirt. When somebody dies, what do?
6 feet.
You bury them 6 feet deep, right? You bury them. You put them all the way under. You don't throw a little bit of dust on them and say, "Okay, you're buried." Why? Because in a couple of days, he's going to be stinking.
Right.
Yeah. Everybody's going to know. Right? So, when we talk about baptism, in a spiritual sense, in baptism, we immerse in water because it is a representation of being buried. I'm putting it all the way under.
Right.
Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Jesus didn't stay buried, and neither should you.
Right.
That's why I don't hold you under. I'm going to hold you under until the last of the bubbles come out. No. Sometimes I wish we could do that, but boy, at the last second, say, "Okay, now newness of life, walk right." But really, seriously, you are baptized, we're completely submerged, completely buried in him, so that we can rise up in newness of life.
Right.
That it's not the old life any longer. If we have, the verse number 5 said, "For if we have been planted together," or that is to say, born together in the same likeness, or having a joint origin, or united, implanted by birth, you see that word now? Planted together has a broader meaning, that we're born together, we become joint at origin, amen, in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. That resurrection equates to receiving the breath. So now I'm being buried, but when I come up out of the ground, just like Jesus did, I'm going to have the power of the resurrection, which is receiving that breath. So we get that, and the scripture gives us many indications that the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes by speaking in other tongues. It is a separate and distinct experience. Knowing this, verse number 6, that our old man is crucified with him, with Jesus, that the body of sin might be destroyed. There's that word destroyed. It's crucified with Jesus that it might be destroyed. It's not going to have any more power over me. It's null and void. What it used to make me do, I don't do any longer because I've been filled with antibodies in a spiritual realm. That henceforth ye should not serve sin. That henceforth ye should not serve sin. That henceforth ye should not serve sin. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin.
Thank you, Father God.
So quickly trying to wrap up here this morning. Paul is saying that we should treat baptism as our own death. That by going under the water, we are dying, being buried. Only our first life is subject to sin. Our second life, after our rebirth, is subject to be lived without sin. You can be baptized and just get wet and not take any effect. Or you can die and have no hope of the resurrection. But if you are buried with Jesus, then you can be raised from the dead as he was. Amen. By being baptized in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Acts 4 and 12 said, neither is there salvation in any other name, the name of Jesus. We take on the death of Jesus, and the power of his blood is applied to our lives. We receive, again, those necessary antibodies. I know of a group of people that they say you have to be, that baptism isn't, let me say it like this. That baptism is not necessary for salvation. But they say that baptism is necessary to join the church. In other words, they're saying you don't have to be baptized in order to be saved, but you have to be baptized in order to be a part of this church. So it's harder to get into their church
than it is to get into heaven. It doesn't make any sense now, does it?
Not at all.
It doesn't make any sense at all. Mm-hmm. That's not the way it is here.
Right, amen.
Oh no, this is a family. And to be part of the family, we're baptized into the same name, the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We do not find anything like that in our Bible. All scripture that we find about baptism has the name of Jesus incorporated with it. Let me just take you in a few more places here. Water separates. Remember in the very beginning of your Bible that the earth was in chaos. It was void and without form. But when God moves, the very first thing that he does in creation, he uses water. It starts with water. The Jews were slaves and in bondage to Egypt, yet they were delivered when they moved through the Red Sea. It wasn't until they got through the water to the other side that they were delivered.
Right.
And that's what is necessary even for us today. But once they got on the other side and they were wandering in that desert, again for 40 years, they moved in and around the desert, but they had to go through the Jordan River in order to get to the promised land.
Right.
Every place, so many places I can take you today, that it over and over again talks about the water and the significance of water. You have a pregnant woman. The water breaks and the baby comes. You have a sinner and water baptism happens and salvation comes. Through this mystery of baptism, we find that we have the blood of Jesus applied to our lives. And that is not the only thing that happens. But now we have the power over the enemy of our soul. Acts chapter 3 and verse number 6 said, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. By simply invoking the name of Jesus, Peter healed the man through the power of Jesus. The ability of the blood of Jesus to remove disease flowed through Peter's veins. He had the antibodies. Now, hang with me for a minute. I'm going to talk a little bit about soul winning right here. He had the antibodies. And that's why he could say, rise up and walk. He was transferring some of those antibodies and saying, all right, now it's time. You need to come on. In Acts 16 and 18, and this did she many days, the woman with an evil spirit, after Paul, crying after him. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out to the same hour. Just as it is said that all things in heaven and in earth are subject to the blood, so are the spirits subject to the blood. Peter was able to heal a man's physical body, while Paul healed that woman's spiritual affliction and delivered her of the devil. So again, it is through baptism that the power of blood is applied to our lives. This power is like the antibodies that the mother gives her children. They are not part of the baby's body, but they provide the power to overcome disease, bacteria, and viruses that would harm that baby, which the mother has already defeated. That's key.
Amen.
The mother has already.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
As a church body, we've already defeated the spirit of nicotine.
Right.
As a body, we've already defeated the spirit of alcoholism.
Yes.
As a body, we've already defeated the spirit of adultery or fornication, or the spirit of lying and cheating and.
Yes.
As a body, we already got the antibodies built up.
Right.
So when the babies are born, they're born into a healthy,
clean
environment.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
The blood of Jesus gives us the power to overcome physical and spiritual affliction that would try to defeat us. One last story. I read this and I find this to be quite amazing, but I think there's a great spiritual application. Matter of fact, just so you know that I'm not lying to you, and I really am almost done, why don't you stand? That only means we got 10 minutes left. No, I'm just kidding. Scientists have discovered some very interesting behavior among the western ground squirrel. These squirrels will approach a snake and begin to flicker their tails up very rapidly, making all kinds of racket, trying to get the snake to reveal its position and its size. The squirrels will then stay just outside of the snake's striking zone or range. It will then begin to throw dirt up in the air. It'll throw twigs at this snake, leaves, whatever it can, harassing the snake until it leaves. What is more amazing is that the adult squirrel is immune to the venom of the rattlesnake. The adult squirrel is immune to the venom of the adult. The adult is immune to the venom of the rattlesnake. In the blood of that squirrel, it can take on a bite and it will not die. Why? Why do they do what they do in flicking their tail, kicking up dirt, trying to get their position on the enemy? Why do they do all this and try to harass that snake into leaving? Here's why. The squirrel's babies are not immune.
That's right.
So while the snake slithers around and looks for the hole of a ground squirrel, wants to know whether there are any young in there, wants to see if there's any babies in there, that adult, that mother, that father will go absolutely insane and be beside itself to try and do everything it can to protect its baby. Because they don't have the immunity that the adult does. And oh, can we learn some lessons by God's creation and the nature in which He gave us? Oh, that we would learn that as an adult, as a Christian adult, that there's babies that are in the nest. And we ought to be beside ourselves when the enemy, the snake, comes slithering by looking for prey. We ought to be beside ourselves in prayer.
Right.
That was way too
weak. I said we ought to be beside ourselves in prayer. Let me know that, hey, that enemy is lurking just outside the door and is waiting to kill my babies. I'm going to go berserk in praying like I've never prayed before, because my babies need to get some antibodies. My babies, they can't withstand the venom of the snake. I've got a responsibility to preach. I got a responsibility to witness. I got a responsibility to worship. I got a responsibility to pray. I got to make room. I've got a responsibility to make it a safe place and to make it better for those to come. And let me close with this. Every eye closed, if you will. If you haven't obtained the necessary antibodies today, if you haven't received the vaccination against sin, against the bacteria of this world, against the viruses of this world, today is a good day. Today is a phenomenal, great day for you to consider. For you to consider the importance of being baptized in the most wonderful name of Jesus. Today is a good day. It's a great day to get the vaccination against sin. You say, I understand what you're saying, preacher, because I have struggled. I've tried so hard to do what's right. This is not a quick, easy fix. It's not a get-rich kind of scheme. No, but this gives you the ability. Somebody testified to me just the other day and talked about how they had made a mistake. But as they were alone in their vehicle, they said, God, help me. I really am trying to live for you. And that is the antibodies that is working against that sinful, carnal, natural man that is rising up inside of us. But I've been baptized in His name. I've been given the antibodies to counteract the bite of sin. I may not be perfect, because none of us are. I may struggle from time to time, and that's okay. But I know that there is some power. I know that there is some power. I know that there is some power in the blood of Jesus Christ that can give me victory, that can touch my body, that can touch my mind, that can touch my soul in such a way that when I am tempted, I know that greater. It's not just a great little cliche. Friend of mine, oh, you've been trying to live like the Christian. You've been trying this. And it's not just a cliche that we use. That greater is He that is in me than He that is in the world. You don't get that unless you've been baptized in Jesus' name. You don't get that unless you've been filled with the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Unless you've had that rebirth experience, it's impossible to do it by yourself. And so I appeal to some folks here today. I appeal to everyone today. There's some that you haven't been using the antibodies that God has instilled in you to its fullest degree. And I'm beseeching you. I'm begging of you today. Will you seek the Lord today? Will you seek the Lord this morning before you leave this place? Is there somebody in this house today? Is there somebody here today that the light has come on and you understand and you see there's more to this thing of being a Christian than what I thought? There's more. There's more power for me here. There's more life for me here. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is in the house. Jesus is here today to save you, to deliver you, to heal you. Come on, will you come today and allow the power of the blood of Jesus to sweep over you? Will you allow the power of the blood of Jesus to cleanse you and to forgive you today? Oh, friend of mine, today you can live victorious. You can live above sin. I know you're thinking, why do I struggle so much against my flesh? Why do I struggle so much against the desires to do evil, to do wickedly? Why do I struggle? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you today, it's the blood. It's the blood. It's the blood that can help you. It's the blood of Jesus. Will you come today? Will you come today? Will you come to the altar today? Will you come to the altar today? Maybe that's at your seat right now. Maybe you're feeling compelled to turn around right in your seat and begin to pray and ask God to forgive you. Ask God to touch you. I'm telling you today, He's alive. Jesus is alive. And He wants to be alive in you today. He wants to be alive in you this day, this hour. Will you make that move? Will you make that move today? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, you can have victory. You can have victory today. Oh, yes, you can. You can have victory in Jesus.